Welcome to Church Glad Tidings Podcast. In this episode of Time to War, Pastor Dave talks about the fall of Babylon, Rome, and other great nations into the rising of God's kingdom. Please enjoy.
Hello there. This is Pastor Dave Bryant from the Embassy of Heaven and the Church Glad Tidings in Northern California, and it is time to roar. I'd like to talk to you today about some of the things that are going on in the world and the fulfillment of several Bible prophecies. One of them is that in the end of days, or the transition of the ages, remember, there's a big difference between the end of the world and the end of the age. And so we believe that we're in the transition of the ages. And the transition is from the church age to the age of the millennial kingdom. And that is Christ's kingdom established on the earth, and righteousness, peace, and joy, the power of the Holy Spirit established over all the nations of the world. And many people call that the millennial kingdom. Now, there are many questions about how we get there and what all happens en route. But I want to talk to you today about the fact that Jesus said that at the transition of the ages, the end of this age, some people's hearts would fail them for fear because of the things that are coming on the earth. Now, we have all kinds of things coming on the earth, from pandemics and the threat of world hunger. We have strange creatures showing up in malls on the East Coast and in Las Vegas, and all kinds of weird things happening. There's more weirdness in the world than there has been for a long time. And we're moving toward the days of Noah. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days preceding the second coming of the Son of Man. And so we're moving into those times. Now, the days of Noah were characterized by the giants, by the fallen Nephilim, by the strange aberrations that came from the bastardization of not only the human genome, but chimera, which were the offspring of sexual activity between different genomes. And so you have things like a falcon with the head of a man, or a man with the head of a falcon, or a lion with eagle's wings, or it goes on and on and on. Those are called chimera. They're common to all ancient, not only mythologies, but all ancient histories. And so anyway, we know it was such a polluted place that God in his sovereignty washed the world clean and started over again and judged the fallen ones who had made the mess in the first place. Now, we're moving into those days, and so we're hearing things from the Catholic Church about a whole different race of beings, and the Catholic Church is hobnobbing with them. That was established first with the telescope that was called the Lucifer Telescope on Mount Graham. I know it sounds too wild to imagine, but it is true. You can look it up. Lucifer Telescope read spirit signatures from the second heavens. Out of that came what the Catholic Church calls the Cosmic Brotherhood, and that's the acknowledgement that there are cosmic beings in the second heavens that are celestial beings. Now, we know them to be nefarious celestial beings because they have in their dialogue with the Catholic Church says, we don't need God, we are above God, we're above man, and we have never been separated from God, so we don't need the Bible, we don't need Christ as a mediator. And so that it, of course, has all the earmarks of an antichrist race that's in the second heavens, which we already know that is controlled by Lucifer, who calls himself the prince of the powers of the air. So anyway, all that's coming to fruition. Of course, last year was supposed to be alien disclosure. It got as far as having congressional hearings on the matter, got as far as entering into the public record that the Navy, the Air Force, the space program, and many, many nations around the world had documented evidence of celestial creatures. They're not mortal creatures, and all kinds of things. So anyway, how are we to live in this increasingly complex age? And let me just say this. I am so thankful for Christ and the anointing of His Spirit, so thankful for the promises of His Word, so thankful for the confidence that we can not only survive these times, but we can flourish during these times and be a part of the eternal kingdom, which is being set up in the earth and will never pass away. Now, again, many people will say, what about this? What about that? What about, what about, what about, what about? And I'm convinced that just as Christ said, no man knows the day or the hour, no man knows a lot of stuff about the end of the age. And so what we have to do is start with the things that we do know, hang on to them, and then trust God to put all the pieces of the puzzle together for us as we walk it out. Much the way people like Ananias, people like Simeon, people that were godly Israelites during the time of the first coming of Christ, they didn't know all the details, yet they recognized that as it began to unfold. So Nathanael under the fig tree said, could this be the Messiah? He obviously had been thinking about that and meditating on it. What would it look like? What are the possibilities? And so the godly have always recognized the transition of the ages, and they will again. But anyway, in the meantime, I want to talk about this. Now, we have lived to see something that our parents couldn't even have conceived as being possible. But we've lived to see the demise of the governments of the earth. And as sad as it is to be in America and watch America crumble, it is prophesied that all of the nations will come to nothing as the kingdom of God rises to fill the earth. I'd like to read to you a passage of scripture, and it goes way back to the prophet Daniel. And Daniel, of course, had great insight into the heavenly realms. He had great insight into messianic prophecies and the end of the age. But he was a dream interpreter. And when he was in the court of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar saw a vision. And I want to read part of it to you. It's out of Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. It says, in your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron. Its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. As you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then a great wind blew them away without leaving a trace, like chaff on the threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down grew into a great mountain that covered the whole earth. And he goes on to say that was the dream, and now I'll tell you what it means. And so we have this image that was a fearful image that one of the greatest kings in human history, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw. Then Daniel told him, the head represents your kingdom, and then there will come a kingdom after you, and that the Medo-Persia kingdom would follow after them. And he goes through all the kingdoms, well, let me say, in order, the Medo-Persia kingdom, then the kingdom of Greece, then the kingdom of Rome, then a mysterious kingdom that will follow Rome, which is often called the reconfiguration of Rome, or the Second Roman Kingdom. And it's simultaneously called the Antichrist Kingdom. Now, interestingly enough, the spatial appropriation of this statue has to do with the power and the duration of the kingdoms that it represents. And so, of course, from the belly down, the legs is the by far the longest in terms of, you know, the measurement from top of head to bottom of chin and from chest to the belly, from belly to the thighs. The legs extend, of course, the length of all the rest of that put together. And then there's the last kingdom, which is represented as a strange mixture. There's some very intriguing verses that talk about it. One of them distinguishing between the genres of rulers in that kingdom. Let me just say this. It says that they, who are the rulers of this last kingdom, will mix their seed with the seed of man. Now, that's a very strange thing to say. And I personally think it has to do with, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days preceding the second coming of the Son of Man, which, again, infers the possibility of a Nephilim race that's established. It's the fallen ones, again, mixing their seed with the seed of men and producing another Nephilim race. I don't think giants this time. But I think that they will be bastardized half-breeds that are supernatural and very, very evil. Now, be that as it may, the last kingdom that comes out of Rome is commonly referred to as the Antichrist kingdom. But I think it's beautiful, and I want to read it to you because... as it talks about it and unfolds this in Daniel chapter 2, it talks about 10 kings, which are represented by the 10 toes of the feet of the statue. And it says, during the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. I want to let that sink in for a moment. Everybody's terrified of the Antichrist kingdom. The Bible plainly says, during the reign of these kings, during the time where the Antichrist is trying desperately to control the world, the God of heaven will set up his eternal kingdom. And it says that it will crush every other kingdom to powder. Remember, in the Daniel 2 dream, it's the kingdom of God. That's the rock that comes from heaven, not made by human hands, and it smashes the Antichrist kingdom to bits. And that Antichrist kingdom, of course, is the culmination of all the kingdoms that have tried to rule the world. The last and the epic fail to rule the world will be the Antichrist kingdom. Remember, at the end of this whole mess, the great angel cries, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and they shall rule forever. So this is a demonic heresy that has caused people to think that the world will be totally controlled by the Antichrist, and the righteous will be exterminated or swept off to heaven or whatever. But I want you to think about this. There are real people living in the world. The Antichrist has tried to establish a world-dominating system, but it doesn't work. And the anointing of God comes from heaven. Though the rock is not made of heaven, it becomes the kingdom of God that fills the whole earth. And I want you to recognize the fact that the rock smites the Antichrist kingdom, crushes it to powder, all the kingdoms of men disintegrate, excuse me, and the rock, representing the authority of God in the earth, rolls through the earth, smashing every other kingdom to powder, and becomes a great mountain which represents authority that fills the whole earth. Now, that is a process. Daniel saw it as a process. King Nebuchadnezzar saw it as a process. It's explained as a process. It happens. There's an initial a stellar conflict that causes the Antichrist kingdom to be crushed to powder. And then this thing begins to just roll through the earth, establishing the reign of righteousness and truth and peace and goodness in the earth. Now, a lot of people will say, well, what about this? What about this? When does the rapture happen? Just lots and lots of questions. And my conviction is that God has ordained that no man on earth know all the answers to the question. But just because we don't know everything that will happen does not mean that we don't know anything that will happen. And what the Bible is very, very clear about is the God of heaven will initiate the establishment of his kingdom in the earth. It's happening while men live and breathe in the earth. It's happening when the Antichrist, the man of sin, has made his bid to take over the whole earth. And Christ says, wait a minute, Nebuchadnezzar thought he was the king of the earth, and he wasn't. I was. And Xerxes thought he was the king of the earth, and he wasn't. I was. And Alexander the Great thought he was the king of the earth, and he wasn't. And all the Romans, the Caesars, who demanded that men worship them and thought they were going to be the kings of the earth, they weren't. Nor will the Antichrist be the king of the earth. There is only one King of Kings. There's only one Lord of Lords. There's only one rightful ruler over the earth, and he will establish his kingdom. It will happen in the days of the 10 kings of the Antichrist kingdom. Side note here, the 2030 agenda of the New World Order, which is clearly the Antichrist scheme to take over the earth, and is in play. There's a full court press right now to crumble all of the independent nations of the world in order to establish this one world kingdom. And it's happening through evil, demonized people like Klaus Schwab, who, by the way, is very, very sick and may not survive. But the system will survive. And it's essentially the international three-letter organizations. The New World Order, the World Health Organization. It goes on and on, these three-letter entities that have been carefully planned and put in place for the purpose of destroying national identities and making way for the Antichrist to rule the world. And they are hot and heavy after that. But I want you to remember this, that during the days of those kings. Now, I don't know how far they've gotten. I know they've divided the entire earth into 10 regions. I know that the regents over those regions are the 10 kings, and they will all serve the Antichrist. Aren't you thankful that thousands of years ago, God foresaw this, and he put it in his word so that we wouldn't have to guess? He says, during the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will establish his kingdom. There will be a stone not made by human hands. It's a divine thing. It comes out of heaven. It smashes the kingdom of the Antichrist to bits. All the kingdoms of men who've tried to control the earth. And by the way, all those kings of that statue, every one of them, either demanded that they were called the king of the earth, or they made it plain, thank you, Joe, they made it plain that that was their intent, to rule the earth. And of course, there have been many nations alongside of that great statue, but the Nebuchadnezzar statue represents the intent to rule the earth, which all comes to rest on the kingdom of the Antichrist, who wants to be the king of the earth. Remember, when Satan tempted Jesus Christ, it was over rulership of the earth. He said, if you'll just give me rulership of the earth, then I'll concede to you everything else. I just want you to worship me as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Of course, that's never going to happen, not in Jesus' day, and Jesus' days are eternal. So we have the bright hope that we will be able to actually be involved in this divine process. It starts in heaven. It comes to earth. It smashes the Antichrist kingdom. Then it begins to roll through the earth. It gets larger and larger and larger. For those who are still singing "Fear Not, Little Flock" and worrying about, you know, what are we going to do? How do we keep the Antichrist from swallowing us alive? That fearful mentality is not biblical. And so we're supposed to be excited about the end of the age because the good guys win. And so the rock made without hands, again, we're in Daniel chapter 2, rolls through the earth. It becomes greater and greater and greater until it is a mountain. Mountain in prophetic jargon represents authority. All the kings built their castles on mountains, and the highest mountain represented the strongest king. And so the mountain of the Lord's house will be established over everything else. Again, refer to Isaiah chapter 2 and following. Just yesterday, a group of men were asking me what the vision was here at Glad Tidings and at the Embassy of Heaven. And I said, just start in Isaiah chapter 2. The mountain of the Lord's house will be established above all other authorities, and the nations will come and say, will you teach us the ways of your God? And that's how the kingdom of God will be established in the earth. I'm excited about it. It will be through people like you and I in agency with heaven that are fulfilling the prayer of Jesus Christ. It's very plain. When the disciples said, Jesus, what should we pray for? He mentioned a number of things that we call the disciples' prayer, including deliver us from the evil one and provide for our needs. But really the heart of that is for us to pray that God's kingdom will be established in the earth so that God's will be done in the earth in the same way it's done in the heavens. Ask yourself how thorough that is. To what degree do you think God's will is done in the heavens? How is it done? It's done immediately. It's done perfectly. It's done willingly. It's done enthusiastically. And that's what Jesus said. Pray that will be the state of things here on the earth as God establishes his eternal kingdom. And we have the promise that he will, that it will take over every other kingdom. The remnants of the ugly, selfish kingdoms of the earth will be blown away by the wind of the Holy Spirit, and the mountain of the Lord's house will fill the earth. I'm excited about it. I am expecting very much to be a part of it, and I hope you are too. But don't be discouraged. Remember, Jesus said, when you see these things, and in that list, we're in Matthew 24 now, but if you go back to look at these things, it's rebellion, and it's extreme sin and debauchery and a list of all kinds of evils, earthquakes, wars. But Jesus said, when you see these things happening, lift up your head and rejoice because your redemption is near at hand. So I want to remind you of that. Again, Pastor Dave here at the Embassy of Heaven and the Church of Glad Tidings. Remember, this is not a time to retreat. This is not a time to be quiet. This is not a time to be afraid. This is time to roar.
Thank you for listening and being a part of the conversation. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about what we're doing, please visit us at churchofgladtidings.com. There you can donate and find ways that you can serve. Thanks for listening, and God bless.